Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're going to get Amin in those, so you got to listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. You can play Pick'em, pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower total in each stat for this week's games for a chance to win big. You can actually win up to 100 times your money in a single night. That's right. I didn't say 10. I didn't say 20. Up to 100 times your money. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick 'em entry. My favorite feature, you can make rivals picks. Pit 2 players against each other. Wembanyama versus Nikola Jokic. Tim Hardaway Jr. versus Norm Powell. Kawhi Leonard versus Steph Curry. Who knows? Maybe Grayson Allen versus Pat Connaughton. You get where I'm going with that. You can do it all with Underdog Fantasy. Make sure you sign up today with the promo code DING. That's D-I-N-G. And get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick'em special. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the app store. And don't forget to register with our promo code DING, D-I-N-G, to get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick'em special. Must be 18 or older and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-522-4700 or visit www.ncpgambling.org.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Hello, I'm Paul Giamatti.
And I'm Stephen Asma.
Join us on the Chinwag Podcast every Wednesday, where we trade the banal and the boring for the super strange and bizarre.
They committed human sacrifice?
I did bring up human sacrifice, yes.
You sure did.
That just went by fast. Gotta
casually toss that out.
I would like to have an alien hatch its young inside.
Holy shit, really?
She saw world peace, and I saw demons coming out of the wall.
I will say that there was a green couch outside of the principal's office, and you sat on it if you had lice or if you got into trouble.
They wake you up from the goo pods to live in reality, and you're naked and screaming. It's like...
Follow us for free on Apple Podcasts and all major podcast platforms.
For more information, go to chinwagpod.fm.
and find enlightenment through our Instagram or TikTok at ChinwagPod or on Twitter at Chinwag_pod.
Hey everyone, I'm Sean.
And I'm Joe.
And we are the hosts of The Horror Show, the show that dissects, mutilates, dismembers, and butchers all of your favorite and not-so-favorite cult classics and horror movies. We're talking about everything from Lori Loughlin dancing on a BMX bike in Rad, all the way over to 80s classics like Friday the 13th and Nightmare on Elm Street.
Join us every week as we pick another movie that we try desperately to find the good in while laughing our way through the bad.
And there's a lot of bad. Looking through his movies, he appears to just love frogs, because then we get Toad Warrior in 1996 and Max Hell Frog Warrior in 2002. So,
not a fan of horror? Don't worry about it. Almost every episode is filled with personal anecdotes and jokes about all things entertainment.
So join us every week on any of your favorite podcasting apps and services, or find us at IHateHorror.com or on Instagram at IHateHorror.
What a terrible movie you decided to pick.
Oh my God. I mean, I knew nothing about it. I just saw Kangaroo Jack 2. It's accessible. You know that. It's not, it won't have a problem of, hey, I don't have where can I find this movie, right? So,
right.
All right, let's give it a try. And I, like, honestly, I thought, like okay, like, beginning sequences animated, kind of odd, but okay, I'll go for it. And then I was like, oh, no, this thing is animated.
And poorly.
And poorly, and it's like, that's all right until you realize, this thing came out, like, 2005. Like,
right.
This wasn't, like, in the late 80s, early 90s, like...
No, it's we had better technology than that. Want to watch the movie Kangaroo Jack Good Day USA before we get into the meat of this movie, it's available on Stars, and you can also rent it on iTunes or rent it on Google Play. It's about $3 if you want to do that, but if you have Stars, don't spend the money.
Yeah, please don't spend any extra money, or do, because this pod is gonna be great.
Welcome to Cinephobe, the podcast where we break down the movies you're afraid to admit you love. I'm Zach Harper, joined by Amin Al-Hassan. We've got Anthony Mays producing the show. Amin and I have talked about doing this podcast for a pretty long time. I've got an affinity for bad movies. Amin, you share that same affinity. So we thought, what better way to celebrate this? I want to tell a little bit of a background on this. You may be wondering, does this cinephobe sound like Cinephile, which is by Adnan Verk? You're right. That's where Amin, I believe, got the show title from, right?
Like, so Adnan is well-renowned to be a huge movie buff. He loves the classics. He loves great art in cinema and filmmaking. And we respect and love Adnan for that. But we just come at it from a different angle. We love and respect terrible filmmaking sometimes. And some of these movies we acknowledge are bad, but we still find enjoyment in watching them. And some of the movies that we'll review will be movies that Zach or I actually legitimately love.
Right.
And just can't understand why everyone else can't see the genius of the movie.
Right, exactly. And so we've been talking about this for a while, and then after a couple of months of talking about it, you came to me and said, hey, have you heard of this podcast called How Did This Get Made? Which you may also be wondering if this is like that. And you're like, have you heard of this? I was like, yeah, it's one of my favorite podcasts. And I think you said, like, are we ripping this off? I was like, 100% we are. That's exactly what we're doing.
Yeah, you know, like, it's the Wild West of the internet, man. Right. Podcasting. Like, everyone's got a podcast. Oh, so your little interview podcast. Oh, that's different and original. You talk to Miko Grimes? Never heard her on any other podcast before.
Right, exactly. You know what's funny about this is so it'll be, you know, similar because we're reviewing bad movies, but it's, you know, we're going to put our own little twist on it. And for once, I mean, it's kind of exhilarating to be on the other side of ripping something off on the internet. right? Like usually it's
usually we are the victims.
Usually we're the victims. So this time we get to be the ripper offer. So I'm pretty excited about this. Let's jump into the movie. This was your choice. You chose Kangaroo Jack, Good Day USA.
Hold on. So a little backstory for this particular episode. So literally we've been talking about this and then like the last couple of weeks. All right, let's get this off the ground. Let's stop messing around. And Anthony Mays, bless him, has been on both me and Zach about guys, pick a movie, pick a day, when are we going to do this, da, da, da. And to be honest, we still really hadn't sorted everything out. And was it Wednesday night or Tuesday night, Zach?
Wednesday night. Yeah, it was Wednesday.
Wednesday night. It's like 1 a.m. and I'm flipping through and I see in the guide, Kangaroo Jack, Good Day USA. And I was like, what? And I hit info and read the description, took a picture of my screen, sent it to Zach. And I said, apparently Kangaroo Jack had a sequel. And that's all I said. I didn't pitch it. I just knew that there was only one person in this world who would appreciate information like that. And that's really the true genesis of the pod, right? Is the idea that you come across these things on the guide, you're like, who else would like find this fascinating? And then there's only one person, not Zach Harper.
Yeah, and for me it's Amin El-Hassan. So you didn't click on it though. You didn't decide to fire it up because here's the surprise to us. That fits for our decision of Amin. Why did you pick this? Because we just thought, all right, it's Kangaroo Jack's sequel. Like, why not? The problem with this one is we had no idea it was an animated short film. I guess like it's 70 minutes long. For those who don't know, the original
that's all they could afford.
That's all they could afford in terms of sales and management and time. The original Kangaroo Jack came out in 2003. It's an 8% on Rotten Tomatoes.
8%. That's the original Kangaroo Jack.
Yeah, the original. And 28% from the audience. Kangaroo Jack, Good Day USA, here's how it's been received. There is one review on the internet for it. One.
It's about to double. Yeah. It's about to double, baby.
It gets a 40% from the audience, but it's not even the one review is a rotten review. So this is from Brian Costello of Common Sense Media. Kangaroo Jack, Good Day USA is a very silly movie that on occasion veers into obnoxious humor. In other words, this movie is unafraid to use flatulence to garner some laughs. Much of its humor is derived from food fights, one-dimensional portrayals of, say, surfer dudes, and slapstick-style violence. None of this is quite enough to carry the movie, but it's enough to keep families entertained, assuming this is their style of humor. What a backhanded compliment that is at the end.
Yeah, if you're a piece of shit family, like this will probably work for you.
Yeah,
that's what my man said.
Brian Costello?
Brian Costello. Yeah. Wow, judge much?
So you picked this movie based on what we told you. My thoughts going into this movie were I didn't know it was animated. I did like, and I'm with you. Like going into this, we talked about this before the show started. Going into this, the opening sequence is animated, and I had the same thought you did. Of all right, so they animated the opening scene. No big deal, I know Jerry O'Connell's not in this. I know Anthony Anderson's not in this. This comes out a year after Kangaroo Jack came out.
Right. Let's start here because I don't think I saw Kangaroo Jack. To be honest,
I mean, it's really really bad.
But my question is, given how bad it was, who greenlit a sequel?
Right. Was this meant for TV? Did they think this was going to be a series?
Was it made by the same people who make Kangaroo Jack 1, or were the people who make Kangaroo Jack 1 shocked and surprised to discover that someone actually asked them for the licensing rights?
I mean, that's a great question. I'm looking up right now what the production is. No, it looks like completely different people involved, different director, different writers. Really the only thing that remains the same are the names of the main characters.
Yes. The characters are the same, but because they're maybe that's our answer for the animation, right? Like nobody wanted to be involved in a sequel.
Right. So there's us. So screw it, we'll draw it.
We'll just draw it and get some random people. By the way, I've got some fun facts for you. The guy who plays – well, how do we want – first of all, how do we want to do this? Do we want to give these fun facts or go through the movie first of all? Like the
let's go through the movie.
Okay.
I mean, it's, man. It's just, I don't know that there's a story. So
there is no story.
The premise of the movie is that Kangaroo Jack, Jackie Legs is the name of the kangaroo that they've given it. Jackie Legs in the first one, the first movie, the original Kangaroo Jack, is about smuggling. Like the Jerry O'Connell and Anthony Anderson get in trouble with, I think Michael Shannon is the bad guy.
Are they bumbling criminals? What are they by trade in the first movie?
I don't remember what their trade is, but they're idiots.
I felt like I was missing out a lot on some context here, because it seems so. This movie starts with them in Australia with a girl. And the three of them, I guess, work for a shampoo company.
They own a shampoo company.
I did not know if that was something that was carrying over from Kangaroo Jack 1, or if that was just some plot device that they said, hey, let's just pretend. they work for a shampoo company, and they're searching the Australian outback for something to make their shampoo better.
Well, so that has nothing to do with the first one. So here's the first one is essentially Louis Booker and Charlie Carbone.
That's the names of the characters. I love that you know the names.
They're close friends with the mob, essentially.
Okay, so there is a mob tie. Okay.
Yeah, they botch stolen TVs, and Charlie's stepfather is the mob leader. And so they are then told to deliver $50,000 to somebody in Australia.
Gotcha.
And essentially things go awry when a kangaroo steals the money.
Gotcha. Okay. So to put things in perspective, that plot makes a whole lot more sense than the one for Kangaroo Jack 2, right? Just keep that in mind. So the opening scene is them being chased through the jungle, I guess.
Yes. Yes.
And the hilarity of it is, I'm good because I write my notes as the movie's happening. I don't wait till the end.
Right. Same.
So these are the notes that I have for the first couple scenes. Kangaroo Jack 2. It's animated? ? And then the kangaroo is directing a commercial.
Yeah, so at first, as it started, I'm like, oh, this is about how Australia will kill you, right? Because Australia is one of the deadliest places in the world.
And all so these scary chased, Australian animals. Yeah, chased
by a snake, by a spider, alligators.
Everything.
Oh, I guess crocodiles, not alligators. Crocodiles. Yeah. And then it turns out they're not actually being chased. All these animals are actors in a TV commercial for shampoo.
Directed by the kangaroo.
Yeah,
the kangaroo is the director on the commercial.
Right. Well, I would appreciate it if you called him by his real name, Jackie Legs.
Jackie Legs. I'm sorry.
So, I apologize. Yeah. So so a little bit of a callback to the first one is he does somehow end up in Anthony Anderson's hoodie.
So
I don't quite remember.
By the way, I should point out the commercial and the directing was all a dream sequence because, of course, every terrible movie needs a dream sequence, right? So the guy who's supposed to be Anthony Anderson's character, by the way, my note is that supposed to be Anthony Anderson? Because it took me a while. I was like, wow, man, what is this bumbling fat black guy? I'm like, oh, no. That's their version of what Anthony Anderson is.
Right. So here's what I love. Here's what I love is that they do give you once we find out that it's a dream sequence, it's because Anthony Anderson, well, fake Anthony Anderson, Louis Booker has now woken up from the dream. And it's so nice of Jesse, the woman in the group, to give us the exact reason in a completely normal conversation where he's like, oh, I was dreaming about this. And her response, I wrote this down word for word. We're back in Australia so we can find a new shampoo formula so our company doesn't go out of business and we're surrounded by kangaroos. What else would you dream about?
That's why I was so thrown off, because all those details made it seem like we were in Australia the first time trying to create a shampoo company.
No.
Or is it like that? Like, she mentioned shampoo companies so nonchalantly.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, that's what they've been up to, right?
No, I don't remember. Maybe that did happen at the end of – maybe they discovered shampoo at the end. I don't really remember the ending of Kangaroo Jack. I just know there's a point where the kangaroo talks.
In the movie.
It's wearing what? Sunglasses, that red Brooklyn hoodie, zip-up hoodie, and it talks.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, wait, but here's the funny thing is when she says, what else would you dream about? Louis still starts working blue because says, I'd rather not say.
Yeah, that's the funny thing about this movie. So again and again, like, okay, so as soon as I found out it was animated for real, by the way, animation late 80s, early 90s style animation, think like Little Mermaid style animation, only not as good.
Only not as good. And by the way, it's in 2004 that this was made.
Yes. Yeah. So, but like, I was like, oh, I guess it's meant for kids, right? But then every once in a while, there'd be like a reference or something that, and not like Shrek tongue in cheek, haha,
no.
Parents will get this with the kid. Like, it's just really blatant, like, yo, man, that's not cool at all. Like,
just a straight up sex joke, right?
Yeah, there's a scene where a character adjusts the mirror so that he can check out a girl's ass as she's walking away. Like, I'm like, wait, what? Like, straight up, not to check out the girl walking away,
right?
Check out just the girl's ass,
right? So essentially, they go to the outback to talk to aboriginals to find out the secret.
They're called indigenous people.
Oh, I'm sorry. Right. Indigenous people. Somehow they managed to offend me with their portrayal of the indigenous.
Oh, no. Well, and then portrayal of anyone who isn't white, by the way.
Yeah, that's fair. Right. Yeah, because Louis is very comically, stereotypically bumbling black guy. Like, it's pretty offensive.
Well, and there's also, I mean, what would I say here? Okay. I said the natives are problematic, and then I put 2004 ? Because I wanted to make sure that that's when this movie was made and not 1984, for instance. And including, by the way, a scene where Louis puts on a hoodie, and because he puts on a hoodie, all the natives drop down and start worshiping him.
Right.
I'm not making
that up. Right. That is what happens.
And what I write after that was, who was the target market?
Poachers then steal Jackie Legs.
Okay, so I have a question about this. Isn't Australia overrun with an overpopulation of kangaroos?
There's a lot of them.
Nobody poaches them. It's quite the opposite. It's like these varmints, and they're like a rodent issue in Australia. They can't kill enough kangaroos and make them into steaks and leather and all that stuff, right? Do I have this wrong?
I think that's just about right. And like, it's not like a rhino or an elephant tusk business in Africa, right? Like,
no, they're like, here, take all the kangaroos you want. Like, it's not a big deal. And by the way, I point out here, bad guys always wear sunglasses in cartoons, right?
Oh.
In cartoons, if you're wearing sunglasses, you're probably a bad guy. But guess what? Spoiler alert for later, this movie is the movie that made me have to make an amendment to that rule. Because later on, I discover not all bad guys. Not all sunglass wearers are bad guys. But okay. I'll tell you that later.
All right. So once we find out that Louis and his Brooklyn red hoodie make him the chosen one, now they're supposed to find these stolen gems from the indigenous people.
Now, okay, so full disclosure, I fell asleep a couple times in the movie.
Okay.
So I don't know why.
It's 70 minutes long.
Yeah. I never understood the connection between the missing gems and that, because it seems like they're like, hey, these stones are missing. All right, cool. And then the next scene is they're messing around and they see Jackie Legs. That's his name, Jackie Legs.
Jackie Legs, yeah.
Kangaroo. Yeah, they see the kangaroo, and then he's poached, right? And I never and then they go find the poacher's camp and see where he's about to be smuggled away and all this stuff, and they go on this adventure to rescue him because apparently he has a wife and child that we see.
Yeah, that he saved from being poached.
Yes. He saved his wife and child, but now Anthony Anderson character feels like he's got to save Jackie because Jackie saved their life in the past. Again, got to assume that's from the first movie.
Right.
Because he definitely didn't do anything in this one. but you get my point, right? Like, they go on this adventure to rescue him and bring him back to Australia. Where do the gems come back in?
Well, so we don't really get that until a breaking news report in Las Vegas. Oh, by the way, they're taking these animals to Las Vegas.
By the way, and there's a couple of things before we get to Vegas. I just want to say one. So when they find the poacher's camp, they're on a ridge, kind of like a few hundred yards away.
Yeah.
And they're staring down with night vision, like military grade binoculars.
Right.
And I thought to myself, I thought y'all were here for shampoo. Why would you pack night vision military grade binoculars for this trip?
It's a great question.
Then I thought the kangaroos were in a hoodie. So let's not overthink too much about why characters would have certain things in their possession. So here's another note before we get to Vegas. The farting all the way to the airport was a nice touch.
That's where Brian Costello really locked in on the flatulence as humor.
So this is what Brian Costello's talking about. So they're looking, they get to the poacher's camp. They're looking for which crate Jackie is in. Where's Jackie? Can't find them. They hear the poachers coming. So then they hide in a crate quickly just to kind of avoid detection. Turns out there's an emu in the crate. They're sharing the crate with the emu. And then the poachers are like, hey, let's move this crate. And they start pushing it. But because there's three human beings and an emu, it's very heavy. And they're like, why is it so heavy? And so when they open the crate to see why it's so heavy, we just hear farts, uncontrollable farts.
Yeah.
And it's going for the classic misdirection that we think that the emu is farting. And the guy, poacher's like, oh, ew. And they close the crate and they run away. But then we find out it wasn't the emu. It was actually Anthony Anderson. Not quite Anthony Anderson's character, right?
Right, yeah.
He's the one that's farting. And so I was like, ha ha, you're all right. So then all of these crates get transported to the airport. And as we're going to the airport, all you hear are the sounds of farts.
Right, and just the whole time.
I laughed.
Did you? I laughed. You're the demographic.
I know, but I just, because like the first fart, I was like, okay, that's kind of corny and predictable.
Right.
But I just had the idea like, no, we stick with it. We ride this thing out. You have them farting the whole way.
This is where you and I connect on these movies, is because it's not just the fact that they've been made and this is what we can consume. It's the process of how they get made. The fact that they would go, oh my God, you know what? No, we need to lean into this fart joke.
Yeah. it's like I can see it in the room. The writers are there. It's like, okay, so he farts and the poachers go away and they go and they go to Vegas. And someone says, no. He keeps farting the whole way.
I like to think that they were at like 67 minutes and like, man, we really got to push this to 70. What can we do? We could extend that transport scene, which is a bunch of farts. We could do that.
Farting the whole way. I did laugh. I laughed because I thought of that. I thought of like, man, you brazen filmmakers, you.
That is upsetting.
You risk takers.
Brian Costello would be so ashamed of you right now.
Yeah, I know. So they find out that they're going to Las Vegas. And I said, oh, there's a quote. Oh, the girl, her name is Jessie, I believe, right?
Yes.
Jessie says, because remember, this plane now with all these crates has emus and koalas and all types of Australian wildlife, right? And Jessie says, who could possibly want all these wild animals in Las Vegas? And in parentheses, right as she was saying that, I was typing it and I wrote, if it ain't Mike Tyson, they really fucked up.
it's not Mike Tyson. It's Outback Ollie, who's just a shitty Steve Irwin impersonation.
The next line I wrote was, it ain't Mike Tyson. No, think about how the movie could have been said. Like, first of all, okay, so this is where I'll give you
there's no way they could have gotten the rights to use Mike Tyson's likeness.
Look, let me tell you something. Do you, man, see now, I'm going to, earlier I teased some interesting tidbits about this movie, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so the casting, it's not as low budgeted. Like,
oh,
like,
the casting's legit.
You guys could have afforded Mike Tyson. That's what I was like. At the end of it, I was like, at first I was like, okay, so it's a dumb movie and da da da. Of course they couldn't get Mike Tyson. But then I saw the casting. I was like, No, they're absolutely, Mike don't cost that much, especially in 2004. So the guy who plays Anthony Anderson is Ahmad Best. Do you know who Ahmad Best is?
I do, only because I looked it up.
Oh, I wish you hadn't looked it up.
Well, here's the thing. It's about 20 minutes into this movie. I was like, this movie is going to be so uninteresting. I need to find something to talk about with this stuff.
Okay, so to those who don't know, Ahmad Best is the guy who played Jar Jar Binks in Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace. Right? Like, I mean, I guess that's what happens to your career when you play Jar Jar Binks.
He still had, if I have my timeline right, he still had another Star Wars movie coming out when this was made.
Episode one was 1999.
Right.
And then episode two was 2002. Yeah, so he would have been in production for Revenge of the Sith.
Here's what I like to think is that there was some kind of gambling debt where he needed $8,000 or whatever he made for making this movie.
I would have thought the same thing, except for the fact that then you go down the list for the other guys in this movie. Josh Keaton plays, I guess, what was Jerry O'Connell's character. Yes. He's played a lot. He's a highly accomplished voice actor. He's been in the Spider-Man animations. He's done video games. He's done the Lego movies. Like he's done a lot of work. Phil Lamar, one of the most famous voice actors and sketch comedians.
Yeah, really? from Mad TV.
From Mad TV, and does the voice of Hermes on Futurama, and has done voices on Rick and Morty, and this is a legit dude. And even back then, right? Oba Babatunde, you might remember him as the Dean, Dean Kane from How High. Yes, sir.
Oh,
Dean
that's Kane, sir. Right. Yes. Yeah.
Again, he's a guy. He's been. I think
he's a working Jackson actor. Movie. Yeah,
yeah. He's a guy who's been in a lot of movies, been in a lot of TV shows. And I'm not saying he's Samuel L. Jackson. But I'm just saying, like you said, he's a working actor. This dude, who's not hurting for a check. So he's got to do this. Carlos El Azraqui, who you may remember him as. He is on Reno 911. He's one of the cops on Reno 911.
I gotta look that up.
He's I won't say well renowned, but like this dude works, man.
Oh, I know this dude. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. And he's been in Planes, Disney movies, like Happy Feet. He's done voice, accomplished voice. So I'm like looking down the list. I'm like, dude, they didn't skimp on casting. So like, if you had just thought about Mike Tyson, Mike Tyson would have been perfect.
I guess. By the way, the voice – so there are two more voices. The voice of Jackie Legs, the kangaroo, is Jeff Bennett, who was Johnny Bravo.
Oh, I know that.
Okay. Yeah, and then Jesse's voice, the woman's voice, Kathy Suchi, who is Lola Bunny in Space Jam.
Wow.
Yeah.
There you go.
So there you go. So, yeah, I guess – all right. I guess it's kind of Mike Tyson.
And like when you think about it, it's like – this movie's this low budget. They could have just saved money on the. They could have had like me and you do voices. Like when you look at the script, at some point it doesn't matter anymore, right?
Oh yeah, the best voice actors in the world couldn't do this.
Yeah, exactly. So why'd you spend money on some of the best voice actors in the world, right?
By the way, a couple of Australian characters in this movie. Not a single person born in Australia from Australia does a voice in this movie.
Well, you know how it goes. I said, oh man, they made this whole movie on the strength of this one elevator pitch. Imagine the kangaroo on the Vegas Strip.
So is this why it became animated? Because I would imagine in a live action movie, this is something that could possibly work. In that, all right, we get to shoot in Vegas. We get to have a Vegas movie. And everyone's just like, no, the first one was such a flop. We're not possibly making this. And they said, what if we drew it?
I like that as a secondary explanation. I still like the original explanation of they went up to we want the rights to this. And the original kangaroo Jack King were like, really? And then they gave him the rights. And then after that, they were like, oh, yeah, we couldn't get any of the original actors to be in it. So let's just draw it.
Okay, so we get to Vegas. They break... they break Jackie Legs out of the airport, essentially. Which the FBI is there. So I was confused as to why the FBI was there, but I guess you fell asleep, so you might not be able to help me out with this point. But just all of a sudden, they're being chased as they break Jackie Legs out of this crate. They're being chased by not only the FBI, but by some mobster underhanded type people.
What I write here is Kangol's also a sign of villainy.
Also soul patch. There's a soul patch involved on one of the guys. So they get picked up by fake Anthony Anderson's cousin who lives in Vegas, who drives a limo.
Another
he's also exterminator. He's kind of a jack of all trades.
He's also one hell of a an offensive caricature of black people.
At
one point shouting out all his peeps down at the pool hall.
What I like, so in the writing process, because I wrote this down as well, what I like to think of is they were trying to think of, what do black people like to do? Oh, you know how they're always down at the pool hall. I bet he's got friends there.
it reminds me of Charlie Sheen in Money Talks. It's like a G dog on a fly tip. What the fuck does that mean?
So the limo driver picks them up. They're going down the strip. One of my favorite things about this movie is trying to figure out what they decided to rename things. So there's like
there's a sign for. I did the same thing. The fake hotel names. All I saw was like, are they going to put Caesars in it? Like, no, there's no chance.
So Jackie wakes up from his stupor. Jackie Legs wakes up from his stupor. They give him some candy, which was a running theme in the first one, where he ate some candy.
Okay, licorice. Yeah. Right, he's a big licorice guy,
and then became like kind of like a sugar hide, or I don't know. And so he busts out of the limo, jumps around, causes a huge car accident on the strip, and then kind of hops away. And they gotta figure out how to find him. So they go check into a hotel, the Conquistador,
which is yes. The guy at the door is dressed like a conquistador, by the way. And does all the very Latin stereotypes. Oh, you can have a cabana. It's so offensive. Now here's my thing. So the scene where he goes to the buffet and eats food.
There's a dream sequence in which Jackie Legs is listening to a lounge singer and starts like fantasizing about dancing with the kangaroo that he saved from the poachers. That's when it connected to me. That's his wife.
It wasn't earlier when he actually said Jackie's wife and kid.
I missed that. I gotta be honest. I was playing a game on my phone as I watched this movie for chunks of it, because it just couldn't grab my attention.
I gotta be honest. I fell asleep and missed the whole Latin singer part.
Okay. So let's jump to the buffet then.
All right. So we get to the buffet. He eats something spicy.
Yeah.
And then the OJ's fire starts playing, and I said, well, you found budget for that.
For some songs, like real songs.
That's what I'm saying. Like the OJ's fire. If you've never heard the song, you've heard the song, even if you didn't know it was the OJ's fire. Like maybe you can like insert that music in there. Fire.
Production note, Fire is actually by the Ohio Players and not the OJs.
It was staggering. I'm like, hold on, man. Then like he kicks a tray and a roast beef flies and it hits the white guy, and then the chicken flies. And it hits the black guy. And I was like, and it lands on his head. but his head is up the chicken's ass. And I'm like, oh, this is bad. This is bad. But then he picks up the chicken and he steps it down and he runs away. And I said, okay, I mean, maybe you're reading too much into this.
Right.
Relax. Like,
but no, there's dude, more.
It just had, like the food, you could have just landed on anyway. It doesn't matter, right? He runs back, grabs the leg of chicken, and then runs back again. And he's gnawing at this leg of chicken. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's not the least problematic thing I've ever watched. I'll say
and
that.
And then Zach, I fell asleep again because my next note is I fell asleep and woke up to the kangaroo singing "Mama Said Knock You Out" in a boxing.
Oh, game. You missed so much. You missed so much. I mean, there is a sequence. So
I was so confused. I was like, "Wait, what's happening here?"
No, so they're searching. I'm so glad you missed this. I'm glad I get to describe it to you. So they're searching for him. They go into a dark room. They never turn on the lights. All you see is their eyes in the darkness. Somehow, when the lights get turned on, they are in a cage with a panther in it. And you hear – and there's like – oh, so here's another sexual reference you miss. It's like you hear this like licking and slurping. And Lewis is like, oh, my God, what's going on here? You know, like – and so, and by the way, if you thought that was an offensive black voice, that is exactly the voice they used for this movie. And so,
again, the man who voiced Jar Jar Binks.
Right. And so when the lights get turned on, they'd realize that the panther is licking their clothes because it's covered in food from the food fight. So they take their clothes off and they're just in their underwear. And Lewis is this, you know, schlubby, fat black guy.
Anthony Anderson.
And Charlie is like He-Man. He's got abs. He's shredded. I mean, just absolutely shredded. Like Ray Donovan worked him out. Like, I mean, he is shredded. And so they trick the panther into getting out of the cage. They're then locked in the cage. The panther tries to chase Jackie legs around. Jackie escapes. And then the cage gets rises to the ceiling where then it goes into a magic show.
Wait,
so what? Yeah, so there's the trick is they cover a woman in a cage with a, you know, a blanket, and then when they pull the blanket off, the panther's supposed to be there. Instead, it is two mostly naked men, which is just in their underwear. They get laughed at, they get thrown out of the casino. Wait,
how do we get to him performing "Mama Said Knock You Out" though? That's what and it never like, and I was like, oh, it's probably another dream, but it never comes out of a dream sequence. He fights the dude and then sings "Mama Said Knock You Out" in the ring, and then he just kind of dips.
Yeah, so at one point, fake Anthony Anderson does mention like, oh, there's a boxing match this week. Oh, I'd love to go to this boxing match, right? Like, oh, it's the champ. I want to watch the champ. And so then after the magic show, they just cut to Jackie Legs fighting the champ and rapping "Mama Said Knock You Out." So they got the license to that song.
By the way, here's another fun fact for you as I stayed for the credits. Performing that song was Jeff Bennett, the guy who voices the kangaroo, and Bizarre from D12.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wait, they both did?
I guess. I don't know if he did tracking or what it was, so, but it's
just what I guess. Here's what I would think, because during the verses, there is no Australian accent. When they get to when they get to the chorus, the Australian accent kind of peeks through a little bit.
Yes. Yes.
Son of a bitch. Bizarre, huh?
Yes. Bizarre.
All right. Well, he's still getting work in 2004. That's exciting.
Yeah, I mean, 2004 was kind of – wasn't the height of Bizarre?
Yeah, I guess it was,
Which, again, in retrospect, like, that's the best you could do. Yeah. You're riding high on the shoulders of Eminem, who's, like, a megastar, and the best you got was not even an acting credit on this thing.
No.
But doing background vocals for the guy who voiced Johnny Bravo on a movie on Kangaroo Jack's sequel, which is animated. like that. If you wanted to insult someone, that's kind of like the scenario you come up with. Like, man, you're the type of person to be rolling with like the biggest star in the world. The only work you can get is doing background vocals to the guy who did Johnny Bravo's voice on his animated sequel to the movie Kangaroo Jack. I mean, you had to fight somebody if they said that.
Yeah. That's worse than insulting someone's family. Like, that's 100% worse. So then we find out the FBI has now spun this onto Charlie and Lewis. There's a breaking news report about them smuggling jewels
Is this before or after the water skiing scene?
This is before. Did you fall asleep for this too?
I have a note here. The cousin of Justin Mirror to see the girl's ass.
Right. Yeah. That does happen. They find Jackie. They go search for Jackie. They find him. He escapes due to they got trapped at some woman. So this woman calls the cousin, who's also a pest control, an exterminator. And so she calls him saying, hey, there's a kangaroo in my backyard. So they're like, oh, that's where the kangaroo is. So they escape. They go there. Lewis drives the limo while the cousin drives an exterminator truck with a big bug on it. Lewis crashes the limo right outside of the woman's house just by chance, after causing several driving violations and not paying attention to the road. They then get trapped in the backyard. Jackie gets away, goes off into the desert, and that's when they go after and they go find him, I guess, at a boat rental place. They never really show how they find him at the boat rental place. They just go looking for him after they consult Outback Ollie. So they consult Outback Ollie. He gets into the picture where now he's involved, and we find out that Outback Ollie is not the hero that we hope he is. He is sides. Like, he's a villain in this.
That's where I put in my notes. Outback Ollie with a fake accent is a twist.
Right. Yeah. Fake accent is a twist, and kind of goes in and out. But then so he says, oh, no, go get the. Oh, he said, oh, this is what happens. This is how they find it. He says he's going to search for water. That's what kangaroos do. They'll search for water in the desert. And so then they find a lake where people are.
Lake Mead.
Like
one of the few like actually correct geographical locations in this movie.
Right. And so then they're a couple of surfer dudes.
Water ski guys sound like far away from the mic surfer hockey dude on Levitard.
Yes, that's
they sound exactly like that. Cha.
Cha. Yeah.
And they're the ones that that changed my rule about it. They wear sunglasses in an animated movie. They're villains because those guys weren't villains.
No, they weren't sunglasses. Villains.
They had surfer dudes on the lake.
they're just having a good time. They were also a callback from the limo scene when there's a strip. They recognize the kangaroo. Because of course they will.
No, they recognize Jackie. I don't know if they recognize he's a kangaroo because they lamented why he didn't show up to their party.
Right. They did invite him to a party as he broke away from the limo.
We miss you at the party, bro.
So I gotta be honest. This is where I stopped taking notes because I was pretty mentally checked out at this point. I thought if I remember it, if not, Amin will have it.
I've got one more note for the room.
There's like 30 minutes left in this movie.
The last note is, so basically fast forward, they find out that, you know, Outback Ollie isn't what he claims to be. And he holds Jesse hostage because, of course, he's going to hold a woman hostage, right?
Right.
Hold them dude hostage, right? And so Jackie jumps from, like, clear the other side of this moat and this huge, park reserve or whatever, and, like, jumps and then 2 foot kicks the dude in the chest. To an alligator pit, to which I wrote, Jackie jumped further than Arya Stark did when she stabbed in that game. Like, it was like, if you watch Game of Thrones last episode, or episode 3, where the Night King gets killed and Arya, and spoiler alert, Arya does it, and you said, oh my God, how far back did she jump from? Trust me, Jackie's legs has her beat by a mile.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that figuratively, like by a lot. I mean, literally, he jumped a mile.
Yeah, right. If she jumped 10 feet, he jumped a mile in 10 feet. That's what happened. And so, so he basically murders Outback Ollie.
Yes. Like, everyone kind of laughs because
this
is like alligator pit. I'm like, guys, this is very serious.
Right. Yeah. No, he's getting torn apart. Like, and I think there are kids there because I think it was for the show. Because there's a Outback Ollie hosts this like show in Vegas for all these animals, and there's always kids there. So there are definitely kids watching a man get torn apart by crocodiles or alligators or whatever were there.
Yes.
And so then after that, they everything's back to normal, right? They go
return the gems, which apparently were I don't know why the kangaroo had them in a necklace, but
right, yeah. Well, here's the
thing. I swear to God, this movie.
Here's the thing is the cousin then tries to steal the gems. He tries to pull one over. He pretends to be an indigenous person. He pretends to be one, tries to say, those are my gems. Give them back to me.
But talks like a preacher, though.
Right.
These gems have to return to my people.
Yeah, it was either a preacher or some kind of like jazz ghost. I can't really figure out. Like,
jazz ghost.
So he tries to get them, and then he gives them to the rightful people and says, I was just trying to get mine or something like that, you know, something mildly vernacular. And they return them to the indigenous people. I guess they're kind of like Infinity Stones in retrospect, because they put them into these like holders and like this light shoots out. And then there's a song that was written like in the outback or something that was rapped by Lil J.
Song by Lil J. Yeah. I saw that too.
Yeah. And so it kind of just like wraps up with them. They get the secrets of making good shampoo.
And then the kangaroo starts talking to them again, right?
And the kangaroo's talking to them. And then all the animals from the opening scenes are talking to them again.
Which, by the way, we forgot to point out that in the opening scene, the animals in the commercial were very upset by the way they were being treated by the director, which was a kangaroo.
Right.
Like, they had complaints about like how they were being directed.
Yeah.
Like character motivation. Not like animals. Yes. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So that's... That's Kangaroo Jack, Good Day USA. What was the best part of the movie for you?
I legitimately farted. I laughed during the farting scene. I can't call it. Like that, to me, if you ask me to pick a highlight, that would be it.
I'm going to say just the bewilderment I had from the rapping kangaroo while boxing. I think that was my highlight.
Oh, you're bewildered. I woke up to it. I woke up and this kangaroo is rapping. And I'm like, is that LL Cool J? And then it's fighting. And then it's not a dream.
Right. Yeah. Not a dream. Not a dream at all. All right. So let's give our verdict on this, which we're going to do. Verdict is phobe or file. So phobe means you hate it. File means you love it. Amin, is this a win for you?
No, it was phobe, man. It just wasn't coherent enough of a bad movie for me to be able to like, say, oh, it stunk, but I enjoyed it. I was checking my watch. I fell asleep twice. Like, it thumbs down.
Yeah, I started watching it. I woke up early because I had to go into radio. I had to go into the studio for radio today. So I got up early. I was like, I'll just watch it before. And about a half hour in, I was like, oh, I got time after radio. I can just finish it. Like, it never captured my attention. And it was a long 70 minutes.
Look, and I'm telling you guys. You guys say, well, it's a terrible movie. Of course it didn't catch your attention. Of course you didn't. Like, trust me. Stick with us as a pod, and you're going to hear other episodes where we are going to talk about movies that you might think are terrible, that one of us swears is terrible, and the other one is like, you know what? This movie's pretty good.
Exactly. And just a little taste of those possibilities. The movie Envy may come up. That's a favorite of Amin's. The movie Showgirls, the movie Summer Catch.
Summer Catch,
And by the way, for you Patreon subscribers, which is this how you're getting it, we've got a channel in the Discord. If you want to drop in your suggestions, your questions about these movies, any comments you have, any fun facts you have about these movies of what we have watched or what we will watch or what you want us to watch, just drop it in that Discord channel, the Cinephobe Discord channel, right there on the Count the Dings Patreon Discord. So
the hope is to make it pretty interactive for you guys, where you know, not only can you suggest movies that we should watch, but also the ones that we do review, we want to hear back from you. So if you have seen Kangaroo Jack 2, Kangaroo Jack Good Day USA, which by the way, I don't think Good Day USA was ever uttered in the entire movie.
No, not once. Not a
single. There's only one guy with an Australian accent. Turns out he wasn't really Australian.
Right.
But if you have seen it and you want to get drop us a line on the voicemail or you know in the Discord or any other means, and you know we'll definitely get your feedback out here.
And by the way, if you suggest a movie and we end up taking that suggestion, we'll bring you on for a couple minutes to have you tell us why you pitched this movie. So how about that?
That's a good idea.
I just thought of that. Yeah. So how about that? Yeah. So that's Cinephobe for Amin El-Hassan, for Anthony Mays. I'm Zach Harper, and we'll catch you next time.